We're going to look in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. You guys go out to junior church there. I want to share a message about the importance of children's ministries. While you're opening up there, in the next couple of weeks, I'd like for you to be praying about giving a special offering. We need to replace all the lights in the gym, replace them with LED lights. It's going to cost about $7,000 to do that. They project a payback of in five years. They'll pay for themselves with the amount of energy that we save. And so you pray about what you can give as far as an extra offering towards those lights, and we can get that taken care of. And that'll be a real blessing, amen. And I know God can provide for us. We want to be frugal with the money of the Lord, amen. So we want to save wherever we can, and but always get sick when everybody's always going to save you all this money, but then they say, pay this amount of money up front, you know. So you pray about that. I know God will take care of that. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13 says, they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning in church, be able to worship you and praise your name. We thank you for just music and special music and Lord, even for the skit, Lord, introducing VBS, and Lord, we want to just have a great week this week as we bring the children in and as they hear about the love of God. And Lord, we want to just share in the glory of being able to lead them to Christ and see them trust you, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to be a hindrance. We don't want to do anything that would prevent them from coming. And so, Lord, will you bless us? Will you open up the door of opportunity for us to bring these children in? But right now, Lord, as we study the word together, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's teaching. We need you, Lord, to reveal to us whether we're saved or not, and Lord, whether we're right with you or not. And so, God, I just pray that you would bless the preaching of the word of God. Help us to understand in a clearer way the significant importance of doing children's ministries. And so bless the preaching of the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Where our text verse is verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Certainly we know in the context of the passage here, there were those that were trying to bring their children to Jesus, but yet there was those that were blocking the way and hindering them from coming into the presence of the Lord. Jesus gives them a harsh, strong rebuke because he uses the children as an illustration of how a person is to be saved. They're to humble themselves. They're to be innocent in their presentation of receiving Christ. He says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And it's so simplistic dealing with children of how they can have simple faith to believe and be able to know that they're going to heaven when they die. This week's Vacation Bible School, we're excited about that. Every year we do VBS, we watch multitudes of children come in. We usually run a couple hundred children, maybe 250, I think, one year we had. And we always see many of the kids get saved, and they go home and they share that excitement about being saved with their parents. And oftentimes that opens the door of opportunity for us to go into the home, be able to meet mom and dad and be able to share with them faith in Christ, and they can be saved. And we've seen many families change and just the joy of the Lord experience in that home because of children's ministries, the importance of doing children's ministries. I think oftentimes we get the mindset that it's more important to focus on adults, and we kind of ignore the children. We forget how valuable and how significant their life is in the hand of God. Oftentimes, every year we kind of go overboard with VBS, and it does cost a lot of money to do all this. It takes a lot of time to do all this. People have been here for hours this week setting things up and painting and doing all that. And you say, well, is it worth it? Yes, it is. When you see one of these children get saved, it is worth every dime, every hour of work that is put into it. Now, why? Statistics show a few problems here. Statistically, it shows that 10% of adults will get saved. 90%, however, will reject Christ when you try to lead them to the Lord. Oftentimes, adults already have preconceived ideas. Maybe they've watched something that they got offended by, or maybe they just have been so long away from any type of biblical influence. They want nothing to do with God. So it's hard. You only get about 10% of adults saved. Oftentimes people say, well, door-to-door soul winning doesn't work anymore because you knock on doors and you try to share your faith with others and people don't want to hear it. And you don't stop because only about 10% of those people that you're going to be knocking on doors are actually going to listen to you and respond to what you're sharing with them. And so it is difficult to get adults saved. If you're up over, I think, 70 years old, it's like a 1 in a million chance that you'll get saved. It's just amazing how drastically these statistics expand as you get older. But 10% of adults will get saved. They say only 20 to 25% of teenagers will get saved. And if you say, well, I'm going to wait and be a witness and try to talk to teenagers and bring them to Christ, realize only about a quarter of those that you talk to will really believe what you're sharing with them. Oftentimes, they're too cool to get saved, you know. They're worried about their peers. What are my friends going to think about? Certainly, many times, teenagers won't get saved because of the fact if they get saved, their life is going to change. Now, all of a sudden, their friends won't want anything to do with them. And so it's difficult even to get teenagers saved, but it's not as drastic as it is to get adults saved. And then statistically, 80% of children between the age of 6 to 12 will trust Christ as their Savior. And so oftentimes we put so much effort and energy and focus on other areas of ministry, and we forget how powerful an influence we can be on helping children understand who God is and what Christ has done on Calvary for them, and many of them will trust Christ as their Savior. Oftentimes, people think, well, so-and-so can't get saved at that young age. I remember when I was starting Gospel Light Baptist Church, a friend of mine was going to start a church over in Freehold, and we were up in Oakhurst, and he was living with us. As they were getting prepared to start their church, they were staying with us, and so they would go to church on Sunday with us. And their little girl, I remember a little girl's name was Jacqueline. She was only 3 years old, and she was in my wife's Sunday school class. Of course, my wife's Sunday school class consisted of nursery through teenagers. And it was just my wife and I. We didn't have any workers, didn't have any Sunday school rooms and all this, that, and the other. We were renting a school. And so one day, Jacqueline asked my wife, she said, I want to be saved. Can I be saved? And she said, sure, Jacqueline. And she sat down and explained to her a way of salvation, simple faith in Christ. And listen, to this day, that was back in 1985 when that took place. And to this day, if you ask Jacqueline, when did you get saved? She said, I was 3 years old. Aunt Joanne led me to the Lord. Now, don't think for 1 minute because children are young children that they can't get saved and they can't comprehend the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All we need to do is present to them what God has said about salvation and who Jesus Christ is, and they'll respond by the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart, and they can be gloriously saved and know that they're saved. Teens and adults may want to debate, or they may want to question, or they may want to deny the truth of God's word. But Jesus literally warned here that with the young people, with children, do not be a hindrance to them. Do not block them from coming to him. Do not be an offense to them because you'll suffer great consequences. Mark chapter 9 in verse 42, it says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea. And so church ministry, individual believers in Christ, have to be careful that we do not hinder the opportunity for children to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to hinder it by disbelief. We don't want to hinder it through rebellion. We don't want to hinder it through an unwillingness to be involved in reaching out to others. We want to do whatever it is that we can possibly do to bring the young children to faith in Christ. That's why Sunday school is important. The amazing, I was talking to several pastors here in the last, probably in the last month or so, and we were talking about church growth and ministry. And the general feeling is that adults have lost the sense of importance of Sunday school. And because they have lost the significance of the importance of Sunday school, they no longer have their children in Sunday school. And as we were talking amongst us, and it was different size churches, not churches my size or larger than we are or smaller, and just in general, talking to pastors dealing with this, and as a result of it, Sunday school attendance is going down in our Sunday school, and it's because of the fact of a lack of interest among adults in reference to the importance of Sunday school, children's ministries. And you don't have your children in Sunday school, they're not going to learn the Word of God in a systematic way when they're young. And when they get older, as the statistics show, you're going to have more and more difficult time of bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ. Junior church is important. Appreciate all these children coming in to see the skit this morning. They all went out to junior church. Children's church, while the adult church is going on here, they're out there because of the fact that we have lessons that are on their grade level so they can comprehend who God is and what Christ can do in their life. Children's choir, we use Patch Club, Patch the Pirate Clubs, on Sunday nights. And your children, I forget what the age group is for Patch, but your children, if they're young elementary children, they need to be here on Sunday nights in Patch Club. You say, well, I don't understand why that has to be, because one day your kid's going to be a teenager and you're going to want them to sing in the youth group, and they're not going to want to sing because he never sang when they were a child. You have to train your children up to love God and serve God when they're young, so that when they get older, they don't have to deal with all these inhibitions and peer pressure and embarrassment about standing up in front of people, because they already did that when they were young, when they didn't care about being embarrassed about anything. And so we have to identify the importance of children's ministry, Vacation Bible School, or the Awana on Wednesday nights. I've had parents over the years say, well, you have to understand, Wednesday night, you know, it doesn't get done until 8 o'clock or shortly after 8 o'clock. My children have to go to bed early. I don't know any kids that are in bed at 8 o'clock at night. They come to school, and they're all tired and everything else, and you say, why are you tired? Well, I was up on the internet, or I was texting my friends. And, you know, no, bring them to church. They need to be in Awana on Wednesday night. They need to be in Patch Club on Sunday nights. They need to be in Sunday school. They need to be in Vacation Bible School. And they need to experience that based on the leadership of mom and dad in the home, that this is important for you to know who Jesus Christ is. And it's important for we as a church ministry to identify the significance and importance of children's ministries. And every one of us need to be connected in a way that we can help these young people know who Jesus Christ is. Billy Graham said this: the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or another other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. You know, listen, you can leave billions of dollars to your children and your children not know Christ as their Savior, and when they die, that money's going to do them no good when they stand before God. And oftentimes we focus on so many things in this world that we think are important for us to have and to leave to our children, and our children are not introduced to who Christ is, and they're not brought to faith in Christ, and it does not matter what you leave them, it's going to do them no good when they stand before God. I like what Charles Swindoll said. He says, each day of our lives, we make deposits in the memory banks of our children. You know, when you get to become an adult and you get to become older in your life and you start thinking about memories in your life, what memories do you have of your childhood? I have memories that flood my mind about my childhood. I have memories of my mother taking us to church, and she knew it was important for us to be in Sunday school. And I'm thankful that she was consistent with that, because even though the church we went to did not tell me how to be saved, I did learn Bible stories, and I did know who Jesus Christ was, and I understood that he died on the cross. The problem was, the church I went never told you you had to have personal faith in Christ in order to be saved. All they ever said, well, Jesus died for the sins of the world. That's true, but that whosoever, that's individual, you can believe on him can be saved. They never put it on a personal level, and shame on them, because they were not willing to confront me about my salvation and trust in Christ. And it wasn't until 1979 when I heard the preaching of the gospel and I got saved. But I'm going to tell you something. Each day that you live, you are planting memories into the minds of your children. What memories are they going to remember? Are they going to remember you loving God and serving God? Are they going to remember you instilling in them and teaching them about the love of God, that God will never leave them nor forsake them? And when trials and difficulties come in their life, will they remember that, wait a minute, God saw my mom and dad through, and God blessed them in those trials and difficulties, then I can trust God in this hour of my need also. I'm telling you, we forget how important it is to instill in our children the love of God. D.L. Moody said this. He said, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. And we can't, listen, we cannot back off, turn our backs on, or neglect the opportunities that God gives us to minister to the children. Your children may be grown, you're in this church, you know, and your children may not live in this area. There are children in this church who need you to impact their life. Every one of us can interact with these children and encourage them in faith in Jesus Christ. So the importance of children's ministries. There's three things I want us to see in dealing with the importance of children's ministry. Number one is the dedication of children. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we know the story of Hannah, who desired to have a child. She had none. And she went to the Lord in prayer and asked of God to give her a child. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27, she says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord gave me my petition, which I asked of him. And then in verse 28, she says, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So dedication of our children. And first of all, it's an acknowledgement of God's blessings. When you talk about a dedication of God's of our children to the Lord, it is an acknowledgement of God's blessings. Hannah did not have a child. She longed to have a child. She cried out to God in prayer, believing that God could give her a child. And she promised God that if he would give her a child, she would lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. And God, listen, answered her prayer. So acknowledgement of God's blessing is in reference to an answer to prayer. She said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petitions, which I ask. I think sometimes we forget that Psalm 127 is still in the, verse 3 is still in the Bible. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Our children are a blessing from God. You say, you don't know my child. Well, you don't know the God of your child. Because irregardless of what your child is a blessing from the Lord. Oftentimes I hear parents complain about their kids, and it just aggravates me so. My wife and I have prayed all of our life since we've been married. We're coming up on 40 years of marriage. We've always prayed, God, give us children. We desire to have children. God never blessed us with children. We surrendered our life years ago. I said, God, I don't care what you do. My life is yours. And whatever it is you choose to do in my life, I'll praise you, I'll worship you, I'll serve you all the days of my life. But God, if you would be gracious enough to bless us with children, we'd love to have a child. But God never has. And yet I hear parents griping and complaining about their children. Shame on you. Children are a heritage from God. They are a blessing from God. And Hannah recognized this, that the blessing she received, she needed to dedicate her child to the Lord because it was an answer to prayer. But not just that, it was an appropriation of life.
in verse 28, she says, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Give your children to God. Surrender and dedicate your children to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a blessing that he has sent your way. And so dedicate your children based on the acknowledgement of God's blessings that he can work in your behalf and through your children in a powerful way. So dedication of children. We have VBS. We have different ministries for children in this church because we want the children to grow up knowing there is a God who cares for them and they can surrender their life completely unto that God. So dedication of our children. Notice is not only an acknowledgement of God's blessing, but it's an awareness of God's provision. In Psalm 24, in verse 1, we find that God is able to bless us and to provide for us over and over again. It says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Notice awareness of God's provision is by ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns your life. God owns your children. And so we ought to dedicate our children to the one who owns everything. And not only that, but it's by submission. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 24, the world and they that dwell therein. And so an awareness of God's ownership brings us to a point of surrendering our life to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so based on the fact that God loves us, we're aware of God's provision for us, then it's easy. Listen, it's an easy concept to say, well, wait a minute. I'm just going to surrender my life totally to the God who owns it all anyway. And so children, ministries help us to dedicate our children to God because we're aware of God's blessings and we're aware of God's provision. But also we see the advancement of God's worship. In Psalm 138 in verse 1 and 2, it is clear that God desires for worship to continue from generation to generation. Notice the advancement of God's worship in Psalm 138:1 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And so this concept of advancing God's worship. Listen, God did not design it for the baby boomers to get saved and worship the Lord, but the millennials don't have to worry about worshiping God. God has never declared that, never designed it that way. God has always put out that we are to pass from generation to generation the opportunity not only to know how to worship God, but to be actively engaged in worshiping God. And so this advancement of God's worship, notice it's a determined exaltation. In verse 1 of Psalm 138, I will praise thee. That is an acknowledgement of that I've made a decision. I will praise thee with my whole heart. He tells how he's going to praise God. He says where he's going to praise God. Before the gods, I will sing praise unto thy name. And so this concept of worshiping God is a determined exaltation of who God is in reference to who I am relating to him. And so we need to determine we're going to worship the Lord. And our children are going to worship the Lord. May I say this? It is not your children's decision whether they go to church or not. It is your decision to go to church. And you bring your children with you to church, and you show your children how to worship God. Let me ask you something. If your children were asked to write a paper, that'd be a challenge in to begin with, just to try to get students to write papers. But anyway, if you were to get your, I was to ask your child to write a paper explaining to me the commitment level and the desire of your mom and dad in reference to worshiping God, what would they write about you? That's convicting. I often think if people were to write an evaluation paper of me as a pastor, what is Pastor Weigel's commitment or desire or understanding level of what it means to worship God? What would people write about me? You know what? We like to paint good pictures of ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, when you've got somebody else evaluating you, and especially your children, let me tell you, they are completely transparent and honest. And they always used to say years ago, give me your children for 5 minutes and I'll know everything about you. Amen? Dedication of our children. Children's ministries is enabling parents to dedicate their children to God as we worship together. The children need to know, wait a minute, it is important for me to worship God, and I need to determine that I will praise Him. You know, there is a point when your children's lives, when you're making a decision for your children, and then there's a point where they start making the decisions themselves. And hopefully, by God's grace, God will help you to instill in them a determining idea and thought process that, wait a minute, God is important in my life, and I must exalt and praise His name. It's determined exaltation. But the advancement of God's worship is also divine recognition. In verse 2, it says, I will worship towards thy holy temple. You know, I've had people over the years say, well, I can worship God without going to church. I don't know how. It'll be kind of hard. Because the Bible always calls church a called out assembly. So that's the believers coming together. The Bible in Hebrews says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God did not say, I'll build my church upon Facebook and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There needs to be a divine recognition of how and where we worship. He says, I will worship towards thy holy temple. And he goes on and says, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. In other words, we have something to rejoice in. We have something to celebrate. And it's the recognition that, wait a minute, God loves us with an adoring love for thy truth. Thou hast magnified thy word above thy truth, above thy name. And so dedication of our children. It's the importance of children's ministries. We cannot back off from looking at children as literally a wealth of value because they are created in the image of God, and God has a plan and a purpose for that life, and we need to be dedicated and committed to the fact of helping them develop that life for the glory of God. So there's dedication of our children. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see the instruction of our children. Paul speaks to Timothy about this instruction. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So instruction your children involves three areas here. Notice it prepares them for the future. In verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, here it is, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Preparing for the future. God has a plan and a purpose to be achieved, not just in all of eternity, but yes, here on this earth. And Paul's just acknowledging the fact, Timothy, listen, it was when you were a child that it was being instilled in you who God is and what life is and what your life and your future should be because of the training, because of the instruction you got. Listen, you can train your children to be the greatest football player or the greatest baseball player. Do you understand what the statistics are stacked against you of your child becoming a professional sports player, whether it be football or baseball or whatever it is? Statistically, it is just about impossible for that to take place. But in light of that, people will take and they'll train their children. I mean, they'll have those 4 years old out there playing soccer. I'm going to get some of you mad at me. Please don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to use an illustration here. And you'll have them out on that field, and I'll tell you, it doesn't matter whether it's 100 degrees or not. Doesn't matter whether you're tired or not. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Bless God, you're going to have those kids out there practicing and you're going to play that game. But when it comes to knowing who God is and knowing what the Word of God has to say, that will change our future. Just neglect. We're not focused on it at all. You can be the greatest football player there is in the world, but if you don't know Christ, what good is it going to do you? It's not going to do you any good at all. Now, I'm not against sports. I think it's wonderful. You need to be involved in sports, but I don't think it takes the priority over your relationship with Christ. Prepares for the future, instruction of your children. Prevails against false teaching. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Prevails against false doctrine. We are living in a world today that is so morally corrupt. Amen. And it's because people do not know, our young children, our teens, our young adults do not know what is right and what is wrong. They say statistically how many children and adults alike in Baptist churches are caught up in cults. And that's a shame. If we really know what the Word of God says, when somebody starts saying something, it ought to be right away. Say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not in the Bible. We ought to be able to declare, you might not be able to explain why it's wrong, but you ought to have been in church enough and read the Bible enough and prayed enough that when somebody says something that is false, right away the Spirit of God clicks, hey, that's not right. And you rebuke that heresy and you walk away from that heresy. Why? Because there was a time of instruction in the Word of God, so you knew what was right and what was wrong. I'm not for one studying out cults either. You know, they say people who are involved in identifying counterfeit money do not study counterfeit money. They study the real money. So when you see something that doesn't look like the real money, you know it's counterfeit. And I don't believe we need to be studying all the cults and all the religions in the world. All we need to do is open up the Bible and read the Word of God, and the Word of God will tell us what's right and what's wrong. So it prevails against false teaching, but it also points towards ministry. Verse 17, it says, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Points towards ministry. Now listen, not everybody in this room is going to be in full-time what we call vocational ministry. Not everybody's going to be a missionary. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. But may I say this, that everybody in this room is to be involved in ministry. God has called every one of us to minister in some way, whether it's being a prayer warrior, whether it's just being a witness and a testimony, whether it's becoming a teacher, whether it be singing in the choir, whatever it may be, God does point us towards ministry. And we need to prepare our children so they have that mindset that, wait a minute, whether I'm a child, like for this week VBS, we always have our high school kids. They can be helpers in the VBS. They can be a teacher assistant. They can be involved. Why? Because we want our teens to know that they don't wait to become an adult to start serving the Lord. They need to serve the Lord right now. And because I find this, if you don't establish patterns in your life, a commitment to God, it doesn't all of a sudden click and boom, happens like that. It doesn't work that way. And so you need to be faithful in giving instruction to your children. So the importance of children's ministry is not just dedicating our children, but it's instructing our children. The last thought is this. Don't worry, I'll be done in an hour. No. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in verse 1 through 14. We can observe a young lad when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. We can see his actions, and I believe we can observe children. And I believe this young lad is a pattern of how children respond to opportunities to walk with the Lord. Notice, first of all, there's a willingness to follow. We know the chapter starts in verse 1, and it deals with Jesus, with the multitude. He's teaching them. The day wears on. They need to be fed. He talks to his disciples. We need to feed these people, this great multitude. Philip's response was, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? I mean, the disciples are looking at a situation that is beyond human control. And Jesus says we need to feed them. And Philip's response in verse 7 of John 6, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, here it is, there's a lad here. See, this child, this lad was willing to follow. He was willing to follow Jesus Christ. There was 5,000 men plus women and children. And yet, it's interesting that out of that whole crowd, of all the people who are there, this one lad is singled out. And I'm of the mindset that he was not lost in the crowd because he was following close to Jesus Christ. In order for them to see him that immediately and that easily, he had to be in the presence of Christ. He says, there's a lad here. One thing I found this with children, they're willing to follow. We'll have probably 200 kids come in here tomorrow. And we'll say, well, that's your teacher. Those kids have never met that person in their life. They don't know who they are. And we say, okay, we're all done with our open exercise. You need to go to your classroom. Go with your teacher. They follow the teacher right down. Children will follow. Very easy to have children follow. And so one of the things we can learn about children's ministry, if children are easy to follow, they'll follow easily, then let's help them follow who Jesus Christ is. Because they'll be able to come to faith in Christ. They followed. Notice not only that, but he was willing to give. It says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? This young boy had a lunch, and he was willing to give that lunch to Jesus Christ. And young children are willing to say, okay, here am I. You know, many a missionary surrendered when they were an elementary age student. Many people that are pastors or pastors' wives surrendered when they were in elementary age in their life. They surrendered and they gave their life to the Lord. Children are just willing to follow and to give. They're very tender to respond to the opportunity. Notice they was willing to trust. In verse 11 it says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. There's in excess of 5,000 people there, and Jesus is asking for this lad's lunch that he might bless it and feed the crowds. And the lad is willing to trust Jesus Christ. A very simple trust. You know, you share faith in Christ with a young person and you tell them, you know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible tells us that without Christ as our Savior, we're going to die and go to hell. But God doesn't want to send us to hell. He loves us. And Jesus died on the cross. That's why he put himself on the cross. He died for you to take all your punishment of all your sin on himself. And all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you like to do that? Now kids will say no. But there's other kids that will say, yeah, you know, I'd really like to trust Jesus as my Savior. And then some adult comes along, some Pharisee comes along and says, well, they really didn't get saved. They didn't understand that. Don't tell me they didn't really get saved. They are willing to trust if they had the opportunity and they know who it is they need to trust. So here he was willing to give us lunch and trust Jesus with it. Notice he was willing to be used in verse 12. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And so Jesus sends the disciples out. And they're able to gather up. Matter of fact, you read through, they gathered up 12 baskets. So each one of the disciples had a basket of food after they fed 5,000 plus people. And it was all because of the fact of a young boy, a lad, being willing to be used by God. You say, why in the world should we focus on children's ministries? Why is it important to have children ministry? Because I can observe children following and giving and trusting and being used of God in a great, powerful way. You realize how many adults have come to faith in Christ because their children asked them to go to church with them? You realize how many adults have come to be saved because of the fact that some child was willing to? I remember years ago, I led this family to the Lord, and they had a little boy. He was only like 3 or 4 years old, I think. And
Every Sunday afternoon, he would do this. And they were Greek. And every Sunday afternoon, a little boy would get up, and he'd get his Bible, and he'd tell his grandmother, Yaya. And he said, Yaya, we're going to have church. And she would say, oh, okay. Now, she wouldn't listen to me. But he'd say, Yaya, we're going to have church. She said, okay. So he'd stand up, and he'd sing Jesus Loves Me in front of them, you know. And then after that, he would say, Yaya, the Bible says you need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. I said, amen, preach it, brother. And finally, listen, finally, on an Easter Sunday morning, she came out to church with her daughter and her husband and her grandkids. And I can still see her. She was sitting right up here on the front row, not in this church, but in the school building up in Oakhurst where we started the church, sitting right on the front row and crying like a baby. I said, Yaya, what's the matter? She said, I need to be saved. Bobby keeps telling me I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. She got gloriously saved. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever think that it's not important to focus on children. Because Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And if we are not willing to focus on the children and be committed to children's ministries, we're missing out on what God wants to do in a great way. These young children, these young guys over here, I'm going to tell you something, guys. God has a plan for your life. God wants to do something special in your life. And you're important to God. And you're important to us. The young people around this building, you teens in this building, I want you to know that God has a plan for your life and you're important to God. And this church is interested in investing in your life that you might know who Jesus Christ is in a powerful way and that God will use you all the days of your life. It's important, folks, to be involved in children's ministries. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for the opportunities that you give us. I'm thankful that we can know that we're saved and that we're going to heaven. I'm thankful, Lord, that because of your grace, we can take this sweet message of salvation to every individual in every area of this world. And Lord, as we focus on Vacation Bible School this week, give us many children to come. Give us the opportunity to share with them your love. And Lord, may they trust Christ as their Savior. And yea, Lord, may it go beyond just their personal faith, but may it impact their homes. And Lord, I pray that we might see many, many adults saved also. God, help us. We want to be good stewards of time and talent and money. And Lord, we know that you will bless us as we would reach out and bring the little children to you. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who's not sure they're saved, Spirit of God, will you touch them? And as we sing this invitation, may they come and receive Christ as their Savior. Help us, O God, to rejoice in the goodness that you shed on us, the mercy of God, the grace of God. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's